Hey, well, welcome to CBS. It's great you're here. Hope God will reward you. I'm looking at my old golfing buddy, Paul. You look tan. Did you go out again today? Yeah. You just can't stop playing golf? How'd you do today? It's killing you because I beat you by one stroke. You're practicing, right? Hey, listen, Clay Parcells and I went out today, and I got a great word of advice. We had a caddy today, and hey, that's the doctor right there that says he can tear you up in golf. Wait, wave at him. He wants some of you, Doc, right there. Yeah. Is that the guy you thought you knew? That's the guy you thought you knew? His face is kind of unforgettable, you know, if you take a look at that now. I got a nice word of advice from the caddy today. He was rooting for one of my golf balls to work. You know, when a guy says work, you're either hoping for a little fade or a draw in there, and he kept going break right, never broke, went past the hole. He looked at me. This guy's name was Sean. He said, "It's like a bad wife. They just don't listen." You know, this guy's got some wisdom going here. Hey, listen, we got some folks from CBS International. I've always loved their presentations. They do wonderful work around the world, and they're going to tell us what's going on. So I'm going to have a short little lecture tonight. So let's go to the lineup tonight over here. So here we are. I just wanted to just pop on this first thing, and then I'm going to spend the majority of my little mini lecture tonight on the second thing, which is the throne of grace. Obedience. You know, in our lesson tonight in Hebrews, it said Christ learned obedience through suffering. You don't hear lessons on obedience in the pop Christianity culture these days because they've kind of made Christ your personal assistant and he's responsible for making you happy, happy, happy all the time. Your batting average go up, your bank account go up and all that. You know, that none of that, of course, is taught in the Bible. Christ learned obedience through suffering. Now, I'm going to give you an axiom that's kind of a mystery to a lot of modern-day Christians. Now, I've been to Russia 25 times. It's no this lesson is no mystery to Christians in the Eastern Bloc, suffering. You know, with no suffering, there's no glory. This is what is so flat about the secular paradigm. They want to take all the suffering out of it. Everybody gets a trophy for nothing, for doing absolutely nothing. You get a trophy. When I was a kid, if you walked in somebody's room and they had a trophy, it was a big stinking deal. They did something. But you know, a soldier goes to war and endures incredible things, and he suffers, and he comes out of it. He's a hero. We give him a parade. Athletes suffer. They struggle. They play hurt. They come back. They're heroes. Where there's suffering, there's glory. Christ learned obedience through suffering. You know, many, many times in the Bible, when salvation is mentioned, it talks about salvation is available to those who obey the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean we earn our salvation, but the obedience is evidence that we've joined up on Christ's team and we're wearing the jersey and we care. You know, you can't coach people who don't care. I always tell businessmen I work with, coaches I work with, you will waste your career if you try to work with people who don't care. They have to at least care before you can coach them. Now, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ prays a famous prayer. He says, "Lord, if there be any way," he's about to be arrested and crucified. The Mel Gibson movie only dealt with the physical passion of Christ. We have no idea what he suffered spiritually. Can't even get that on the radar to comprehend that. But he said, "Lord, if there be any way, Father, if there be any way," who can finish that little breath prayer of Jesus right there? If there be any way, and what did he say next? You got it. "Let this cup pass from me." He didn't want to do it. He wasn't mentally ill. I mean, this was horrific. And he said, "If there's any way out, any holy legal way out, any loophole, I'm up for that." But he said, "But if there's not, I'm in." Now, men, like the old rabbi said, remember in the night what you've learned this day. I'm going to tell you this. If you live long enough, some of you may be there now, God's going to ask a hard thing of you. And you're not going to want to do it. Maybe you really, really don't want to do it. It may be something to you, to your mind, that's horrific. But he's going to ask a hard thing of you to do for his kingdom, a hard thing of you to do for your family, for the integral thing, for the right thing, and it's going to be hard. And you're going to suffer. You need to embrace the suffering. You need to embrace the pain. Now, this is not a Western teaching of Christians in the West. It's not a popular teaching, but it's the heart of Christ. You embrace the pain. Now, when I ran my first marathon, as most of you know, I'm not a runner. I'm a football player. I have no gift of running. I have a gift of enduring pain. But when I was about to quit that marathon, I had 6 miles to go, and I couldn't figure out how I could get 60 more feet. A Marine came up to me, you know, and he had a sign, and he said, "I accept the pain." Now, there's a paradox that happens. When you accept the pain, it doesn't become more, it becomes less. When you go through your whole life trying to avoid everything that hurts, it hurts more because you're more sensitive to it. And I tell you, these Marines, they got it right. And I embraced it, and I said, "You know, my problem is I'm trying to figure out how to get 6 more miles in without suffering." And when I embraced it, I go, "I'm going to suffer." And I got the 6 more miles in, and it was glorious when I ran across that finish line. Even though they were out of beer, it was still glorious. When Holly ran up to me and kissed me and told me she was my hero, that's glory, buddy. And I don't even want to tell you what happened after that. It's none of your business, okay? Now, the second point is we have access. How did the low IQs get in here? It takes you that long to figure out that joke. Here's the second point. This is one of the most, to me, unbelievable verses in the whole Bible. It says this: "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but at all points he was tempted just like we are, everything. Yet he didn't sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain grace, that we may obtain mercy, and find help in time of need." Now I want to use the rest of my time on this. This is a huge deal. This is a game changer. Do you know Christ is enthroned in heaven? Listen to these 7 verses in Revelation 21. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard in a loud voice saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them.'" God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There will be no more pain. The former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne, there it is, the throne of grace, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write these words, for they're true and faithful." It is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to he who thirsts. Does that sound like religion or just smoking hot good news tonight for you and me? Now, men, I want you to know the throne of grace is available for you to run to, and it says in times of trouble. Yet most men I counsel don't do it. They're either ignorant of it or they feel unworthy. I was telling our leaders in leadership, I once heard a preacher talking about this passage. And he used an example how a fella finally got to heaven and the Lord took him to something that looked like a Lufthansa hangar or something, a warehouse. And he opened it up and there was this treasure upon unspeakable treasure in there. And the guy says, "What's that?" He said, "That's all the answered prayer that we had ready to ship right down there at the speed of light, but you never bothered to ask for it. You never bothered to pray for it." Now here's a couple of swing thoughts as I back out the door tonight. You know, the most godly people I know, when something happens that even smells like in times of trouble, you know what their automatic response is? I've noticed it being around them. They always think this or that. They even say it out loud. "Okay, Lord, What are you doing? What are you doing? They're always looking for the hand of God. I'm about to freak out. I'm about to panic. And they have another trait. Jerry, let's just say a prayer. When I was a new Christian, my gas tank was leaking. I was a high school coach. And I was so mad, I was kicking the back of my car. And a guy named Bob Welch, who's a pastor in Texas, he was in Birmingham at that time, he came walking back. He said, "What are you so angry about?" I said, "My stinking gas tank's leaking." It seemed like God would give me a break. He said, "Well, let me just pray over your car." I thought, good Lord, this is taking it a little too far. I'm going to tell you, that guy laid hands on my car, prayed my gas tank would stop leaking, and it never leaked since. So you tell me. Was it a miracle, yes or no? I have no idea. Now, I go in the men's office, and they're freaking out, and they go, "Have you prayed about it?" Now, let me tell you this one last swing thought. When your kids call or somebody else is anxious, Tucker called me from college, and he was really upset about something, and it upset me, and I was making my war plans and a strategy to go get the bad guys. We got off, and I told Holly, I said, I totally whiffed. I could have prayed with him over the phone. When he called back the next day, we still talked about this problem. I said, "Well, let's have a prayer about it, son," and we prayed together. And he said, "Thanks, Pop. I feel a lot better." God, what are you doing? Run to the throne of grace. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is what He doesn't give us, what we do deserve. And you can go. All right, that's it for tonight. And go to the throne of grace in time of trouble, men. One more thing. I was talking to that caddy today, and he said, "I don't know enough about church or the Bible to pray." I said, "No, you're a pretty good talker. If you can talk, you can pray." Praying is just talking to God. Just tell Him what you're thinking. Go to the throne of grace. He's waiting on you. He's challenged you to come. You guys give me a little nod. You go into that throne room instead of freaking out, okay? All right, what do we got here, Paul? Our lovely guest over here.
Our lovely guest from CBSI. Well, and what they do internationally is what we do here in the States, but they do it in local language. And so borrowed some stuff from the website, empowering them to reach their own countrymen and women, translated in native language. But let's let them come up and present to you themselves and tell you what they do. Let's hear them round of applause.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hello, good evening. I feel very much like a woman here tonight. I think there's only two of us here tonight. So wave at me or something to look friendly. Okay, there, now I feel better. How many of you own a Bible of your own in your own language? Can you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you have a lesson of a Bible study in your own language? Can you raise your hand? Okay. In many parts of the world, that is not true. They do not own a Bible in their own language, and they do not have Bible studies. But we are your ambassadors from CBSI. We are the ambassadors of CBS. That take Bibles and Bible studies to the people around the world. And it is our privilege to represent Jesus Christ as we do that, but we also represent you.
CBS International is currently in 72 countries around the world, and every part of the world there's a presence with CBSI. And we have translated the lessons that you have here tonight into nearly 50 languages. And that's a constant challenge about doing more and more and more of those around the world. Because as was on the wall here a minute ago, we want them to study in their own language and in their own heart culture. And we are currently organized into four major regions around the world. And each of our regions has a director that reports to us. And then we have a children and youth ministry that works in all of the regions for CBSI. And we want to just give you a glimpse of some things that God's doing. We could talk about a lot of different countries and continents, but we recently returned for about 1 month in Africa. And so we wanted to share with you what God is doing in some of the African countries right now. About 60% of the worldwide ministry is just in Africa. And we would expect probably in another year, it may be 70%. It is growing so fast, we cannot keep up with it. It's a great blessing to have that problem. About 2.5 years ago, we had the privilege of opening up the ministry in Uganda. And that began with a call from Pastor John Guest, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, who was very familiar with CBS, and his church in Pittsburgh had a 10-year ministry in Uganda, And their 10-year ministry was done, and he called CBS and said, I'd like to have your ministry follow up on the discipleship, because there's literally hundreds of thousands of new believers in Uganda, but they're all baby believers. So we met with John Guest and followed them into Uganda, and that's just the beginning of a great story that God has done.
A World Translation Center called us, and they said, we have 35,000 of easy reading version Bibles. And they said, we want to give them to you, and they're great for studying the Bible. But we said, well, 35,000 Bibles, that's amazing, but where are they? Because if we're going to ship them over to Africa, that could be a good price tag. And if you were God, which you're not, but if you were God and you were going to open a ministry in Uganda, where would you put them? In Uganda. So we said, where are they? And they said, well, they're in Kampala, Uganda. So we had to find them. They were in a shed, and we sold those Bibles. The National told us, do not give them away. We have to charge just a minimal fee, but that money then stays in Uganda and helps them become self-sustaining. We also sold Renero Bibles, and we gave them lessons in their own language. We had them translated. We teach them the five-step format of CBS, CBSI, individual study, small group like you do, then a teaching like Jerry just did, and commentary follows that, and then overall caring. And we do not have free lessons anywhere in the world. We charge a minimal amount for our lessons, but it is respectful of them. We ask them maybe to go without a can of Fanta. Even in Africa, there's a can of Fanta around almost every place. And if they go without one can of Fanta for a week, they can have a lesson. And so we're seeing them grow in their respect and their love for the Word of God as they have a Bible in their own language and they have a lesson. We trained, and we trained them on how to do individual study. They didn't know how to study the Bible, and we said, well, answer the first five questions. And they had their lesson and they had their Bible, and they looked at us like you're looking at me now. And we said, what is the problem? What is it? And they said, where are we supposed to get the answers to these questions? And we said, well, they're in the Bible. You just read the passage and then answer the questions. And they said, you mean I can read the Bible? I can read it and I can answer these? I don't need a pastor to tell me what the answers are? We said, no, the power of the Holy Spirit. You can come face to face with the living God. They were like, oh. And so we sent them out into the fields for an hour, and they came back, and that's what we had. We had a totally different group. They love it.
One of the other things we discovered is that many people in Africa have bad eyes, and they cannot read. So we had a donor give us about 300 pairs of eyeglasses that we took with us on this trip, a whole suitcase full of them. Again, we did not give them away, but we had them charge a small price to begin to work towards financial self-sustainability. And they were so excited about these glasses. They were in line. They were almost pushing and shoving to get them. And we came back later on, and they were doing some praise and worship. And this dear lady was so excited about her glasses that she left her tag right on the glasses. And it was really a cute picture that we were able to capture at that point in time. Reverend John is our national leader in Uganda, a wonderful evangelist, on fire for the Lord, very gifted, very well-loved. This is his wife, Jane, and their three little girls, and they just recently had a little boy. And that house in the other picture is really part of his home. It's just a mud brick home. He lives a very simple life, but is having a huge, huge impact in Africa. Reverend John lost his mother a couple years ago, and so as we became close to him in the Lord, he began to call Marion Mama. So now when we call him in Uganda, I will speak with him for a while, and he'll say, can I please talk to Mama for a few minutes? So it's a very, very precious young pastor. And when we were in Uganda about 2 years ago, everywhere we went, John Guest Ministries had arranged for us to have an armed guard because there were still some problems back then in Uganda. But almost all these guards were believers, and we have several pictures of them studying the Word of God. We began with a blessing of the Anglican Archbishop of Uganda, very conservative Bible believing a major denomination in Uganda. He wanted us to start up in the northwest, so we started in one small province of Uganda, and in just 2 years there are 10,000 people already in CBSI in that one small region of Uganda, and our vision and his vision is to do the whole country. We are currently translating into several languages there, and the only thing that limits us to do translations is time and money. But our objective is to get their Bible studies in their own language, in their own culture, with their own leaders, that we as Americans help get it started. We fund the first couple of years, and then we turn it over to the nationals because they can do it so much better.
And we train the nationals to train their own people in their own language. They can do it better. And so we go and we put start in money of $20,000 to $30,000 to open a whole country to CBSI. But we train the nationals, and then we train hundreds of them, and they in turn turn around and train thousands. So you can see how this can expand so rapidly. But as we said, there are no free lessons. But they don't always have money, but they bring what they can. So they bring their produce, they bring a chicken, they sell it, and that money goes for their lessons, and this is the way that they're becoming self-sustaining. We cannot, as Americans, fund the whole world, nor should we. They find a way to get it done, and we'll tell you more about that later. They also do dramas. We never talk to them about dramas, but they're a storytelling culture. So they have dramas. They're studying Genesis. We said, why are you wanting to study Genesis for your first study? Why not Luke or something like that? And they said, we need to study Genesis because we don't know how to live. And they don't. They have not been in the Word of God. They've had preaching. They've had pastors. But many of them do not know much more than Jesus Christ crucified, which is wonderful. But they have not been taught how to live. And so we are seeing transformed lives. Many of the young couples have been living together. Immorality is rampant. And they became convicted, not because an American told them what to do, not because a pastor told them what was wrong. They became convicted from the Word of God as they saw for themselves that they were living an immoral life. Violence is in Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi. It's been part of their culture. Unfortunately, that seeps into the home, and there was violence in this home. And Jane was so discouraged, and she came to a Bible study. She saw Jesus Christ as her Savior. She accepted him. They prayed for her husband. And he saw such a change in Jane, as you might have seen changes in your wives as they studied the Word of God. And he came to Bible study, got saved, and a home that was violent became peaceful. The other lady is a Muslim who came to class, found the truth of Jesus Christ, and accepted him as her Savior and Lord. Alcohol is a big problem, and many men spend the whole day just drinking senselessly. And these two men were drunk every day. And someone brought them to a Bible study in their village, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now they are no longer drunkards. They are serving the Lord with their whole heart. This man on the right was involved in a cult because they don't have the Word of God, because they were not studying the Word of God, and they are a rote society. They get drawn into things, into a cult. And so he came to the Bible study, accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Can I get a how great is our God here minute? I mean, let's give him praise and glory. These are lives that are transformed.
We have a wonderful Caleb and Bob Mann. Bob Mann is a very high-level vice president with Cargill International, oversees probably 3,000 or 5,000 people. But when he goes to Uganda, he's just in tears all the time because his heart has been so touched by the people there. And on the right is just a typical scene in Uganda, a very poor country, very few paved roads and parking lots, lots of mud. And so that was Uganda. And we're going to briefly touch on Burkina Faso. When we first were asked to go to Burkina Faso, we didn't even know where it was. And we had to look it up on the Internet. But it's in West Africa, right next to Nigeria. And the lead pastor of a denomination in Burkina Faso, Pastor Michelle there with the red robe on, he's the head pastor of 4,000 churches. And one of our key strategies in Africa is to partner with key evangelical strong churches in the continent so we get the blessing from the top down. And he was stranded in Denver, and somebody took him down to the CBS headquarters and said, you have to hear about CBS. And he said, I've been praying for this ministry for 5 years. I finally found what I was looking for. And then we got the phone call, and we went to Burkina Faso a couple months later. On the right is our national director, Pastor Benjamin, who was trained by us, and then he was commissioned by his 85-year-old father to be the national director for CBSI Uganda, a very moving moment in that particular day. God began CBSI in Burkina Faso really in January of this year, And there are already over 8,000 people in CBSI in 9 months. And that's just an amazing thing that's going across Africa right now. It's just God's timing.
We were in Pastor Michelle's church, and we were worshiping together. And there was this big choir, as you can see in the blue robes. And they're obviously graduation robes. And so I turned to Pastor Michelle, and I said, are they recent graduates, or what's going on here? And he said, graduates? He said, no, we got these robes in a container, excuse me, from the United States, and we love their hats. So if you send stuff in a container, be sure to mark them. These three gals came up and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We may not have known where Burkina Faso was. How many of you before tonight knew where Burkina Faso is? A few of you. That's more than what we usually get. But God had not lost the people there. And he welcomed us to Burkina Faso by saving three of those young ladies there. Like we said, we train hundreds. These were 125 top leaders within all of Burkina Faso. We spent a week with them. We trained them as thoroughly as we could. They got what they were supposed to do, and then we sent these nationals out to train the other nationals. And it has worked. 8,000 people since January. It's very effective when you let the nationals do what they're supposed to do. So when we went back this month, we visited as many small groups as we could in Burkina. That's part of our job. Are they there? Are they functioning well? This class leader did a wonderful job. And so we visit as many as we can, and we love doing that. When we're in Africa or any country, we eat what is served to us. Many times that is, we don't know what it is. In Burkina, it's very poor, and we had onions and tomatoes cooked for 10 days for lunch and for dinner. But they're offended if you don't eat it. That took money for them to prepare it. They eat it. And so God has protected us. And it's by his grace that we have not been sick. We've been to 40 countries in 4 years, and it is only by God's grace. We're 65 years old. This should not be. But God has been very gracious to us, and many times they cook outdoors. That's the scene of what usually happens, and we sleep where they put us, and it's not always the most comfortable place. The capital city, this is the capital city of Burkina Faso, Ouagadougou. Isn't that a great word? You want to say that? Ouagadougou? You can go home and tell your wife you heard about Ouagadougou at Bible study. And the mode of transportation is donkey and carts, and there's also a lot of scooters. And, we have traffic jams. You think yours are bad. Try sitting on the side of the road while you're waiting for these guys to go by. It smells a lot better in here, your traffic jams. Quickly, then we'll stop.
One of the things we realized right away is that in order to just go across the country, we needed to help Pastor Benjamin with transportation, because what was available to him was these buses and vans that were just overcrowded and smelly and terribly hot. So we went back to the U.S., and God convicted us to go to a local Toyota dealership and say, God wants one of your 4Runners. Why don't you turn the slide a minute? And so we went to a local dealership. Never done it before in our life, probably never do it again. And we said, we would like a 10-year-old Toyota 4Runner with 100,000 miles on it. And he kind of gulped and looked at us and like we were crazy. And about 3 weeks later, he called us on our cell phone and said, Jehovah Jireh, God has provided. And here it is in a shipping container. A church in Denver sponsored the full $10,000 cost to ship it to Burkina Faso. It cost CBSI zero. And that was just an absolute blessing. And just in September, we were there in Burkina Faso, and we went to visit classes in that 4Runner along with our national team there. And it's exciting that we have a young couple who are going to be Caleb's to Burkina Faso. They're planning on moving there as full-time missionaries and do CBSI as part of their role there. And one of the other neat things is that we have to share with you before we quit is that these countries are so poor, but Pastor Benjamin felt led to do a fundraising dinner in one of the poorest countries in Africa, and we had no idea that he was doing this. And he emailed us and said, I just had this fundraising dinner, and I want to build a building to house CBSI and do trainings and hold conferences. And in this poor country, he raised $20,000 at a banquet. And we were there while they broke ground and were pouring the footings. The entire forms for the footings was dug out with a pick and a shovel by laborers because there's no equipment there at all. And we were there with about 80 pastors, and we all prayed over this site. as a future site of CBSI Burkina Faso, totally funded, totally owned by Burkina Faso. And they currently have enough money to build it about up to the top of my shoulder. So it's an exciting thing to show. We are grateful, just one more minute, we are grateful that this class has selected to pray for the USA Ethnos Ministry. And what we mean by that is starting a Spanish language core group here, or a Korean or Chinese core group in a class like this, or to even have CBSI begin in a Spanish church, a Russian church, a Korean-speaking church in America. So we have a whole new ministry that's starting, and there's just a lot of excitement about it. So please keep praying. We just implemented it recently in a Spanish-speaking church in Phoenix. There's like 200 people. The entire church are in CBSI, adults, women, men, and children, on Sunday morning doing CBSI as their Sunday school, and then the pastor preaches on as a lecturer that day. It's exciting to see what God's going to be doing in the years ahead. Thank you so much for letting us share tonight. Oh, no.
We're getting a watered-down version here because
yes.
We sped you up. But you're all over the world.
Yes.
You guys spent several years in the Netherlands, right?
Yes. Thank you for asking that. My wife and I were Caleb's to the Netherlands for 9 years. I'm actually Dutch by birth. I'm an import. I came to America as a three-year-old with my parents and four siblings. And we worked in the Netherlands for 9 years, and then we turned it over to the Nationals. And then two areas right now that are ready to explode in a good way are India and China. We're really looking forward to what God's going to do there. And he's also working in Europe and South America, other places. But those are the key ones.
Great. Thank you so much, Jerry.
It's one of the best presentations I've seen in a long time. Let's just give him a hand. You know, now, stay up here. Mom, you stay here too. We want to pray for these guys and thank God for them. Now, in football, this is blocking and tackling, getting people into the Bible. You see so many gimmicky presentations, it just doesn't get any better than that. You can tell this is life-changing stuff here. So we don't hit you for money or anything like that in CBS, but we could have a love offering. If you want to take these envelopes, you just go ahead and take it home. There's also a website. Where is the website? If you want to. So I'll take an envelope. I never ask anybody to do anything I'm not going to do, and I'm going to send them a check. And I'll just skip around to golf. How about that? That's suffering. I'm going to take one for the Lord right there. Now, this is David Antwi from Ghana. I was the minister that married David and his wife. To show you the difference in thinking, you know, in his view of the Christian walk, I went over the vows and the ceremony with David and his wife, and I said, now, this is a little part called a homily. And he said, Jerry, what's a homily? I said, well, it's kind of a little 10-minute message. He said, Jerry, I've got family coming from Africa. We don't want a 10-minute message. We want a 30-minute sermon. We want you to bring it.
Amen.
And he sends the messages from this class back to Ghana, and his family listens to our class every week. So I thought their ministry would be close to you. I want you to give Mom and what do they call you?
Frank,
okay. Give them a prayer and your blessing, okay?
Lord, thank you for a time like this. Thank you for people that you give to take the message to our part of the world. There's no greater joy than to know that there are people who care, who do not have to do this, but as the Bible says, they do it because of the love of God. And I pray that whatever you send them to do shall gain root, so that after they leave, since you are there with us, your message will continue to grow. We know we have a lot of hardship. We know we have a lot of difficulties, but there's nothing that you cannot do. And the greatest thing is in knowing that whatever we go through, you are with us. And we also know hardship doesn't come just because you do not have money or infrastructure. You can have all those things and still be hurting inside. So we pray that whether it's in Africa, in the U.S., wherever it is, your Holy Spirit will go before each and every one of us and help us come to know you. We bless these two, and I pray that whatever that they may give, either out of their pockets, their hearts, they leave their homes and their families, I pray that you shall give it to them, just as you promised. If anyone comes to you and leaves his family behind, he shall gain so much more in this world and in the world to come. And I pray that you shall give them good health, long life, and that they shall be able to see their children and their grandchildren until the day that they leave and come to you in glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Peace
brother.
To the Lord.